You'll see behind, there's a picture of a nice-looking family. Everybody looks happy. Everybody is holding hands. Everybody's walking off into what you would think of as good times and memories, but those children grow up. Those children make bad decisions. And sometimes the parents don't look at themselves to see maybe it's something that I've done. And to give every parent in here the benefit of the doubt, you know, God put Adam and Eve in the garden and they failed. Also, Jesus had 12 disciples and one failed. So it's not like there aren't those that are going to slip through the cracks. But tonight, I want to show you biblically what we need to be doing to protect our children. Now, everybody wants their family to look like this. I want to be happy. I want my kids to be loving me and hugging and holding and all that. And I will do anything earthly to protect my family's life. And I'm sure every single one of you in here who have had children, and if you don't have children, your parents, you know, your parents before that, your grandparents, everybody has the same idea. We're all smiles. You could be in Walmart, wherever, and you're all smiles, and you see something in the corner of your eye, and you're looking, and you're watching, and nothing else is happening, but you're watching your child, and you're seeing that guy walking that way, and you're thinking, don't. Because you will go and protect your child. Your child is about to cross the road, and you'll scream at them, "Stop! Get over here! What are you thinking? Look left, look right! Matter of fact, just wait for me so you can get safe all the way across." This is reality, and I see your faces because you know it's real. That's how we do that. But I don't know where the idea ever came when you are raising your child and they get to an age where you fed them and you fed them and you spiritually fed them, and then they say, "You know what? I don't want to go to church," or, "You know, I'm just trying to figure this out on my own." If you would protect your child from a masked man, if you would protect your child from someone at school, you do not want to be involved with that person. If you would protect your child from all those things in life and try to, you know, grow them in a nice little bubble so they can get strong and then go off on their own faith, why would we ever want to let our children choose their own faith? Yeah, you'll figure it out. Let them, they'll figure it out one day. That is so, so dangerous. This is why it's dangerous. Look at Judges chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. Your children are going to follow someone. You know how those kids, when they grow up, they always think that they're special? I don't know about y'all, but when I was growing up, in about the 8th grade, everybody had overalls. It was like the thing to do. So everybody wore overalls, right? And then one kid at school said, "You know what? I'm going to take that side off and just fold this side down, and I'm cruising with just the one side." And before you know it, everybody had just the one side down. They follow, right? They follow and follow. Today, pants are getting tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter. And before, you were like, "I would never wear my pants like that." Next thing you know, I'm just trying to get away with kind of tight, right? It just the way it goes. People are going to follow someone. And then the person who is a free thinking, you know, "Well, I don't think that there is a God." Well, where'd you learn that from? They learned it from somewhere, because it's not a natural thought in man's mind that God does not exist. That thought didn't come into society until the late 1800s. All the way back in the Sumerian times, at the beginning of the world, you know, in those Mesopotamian times, you're never going to see them think, "Well, these people were atheists. They didn't believe there was a God. And these people thought this." It's always they're with God, they're searching for gods, and they know there's a higher being. So this whole idea that these kids are going to be that way, it's not something of old. It's something new, and it's something that we've allowed them as parents to think is okay. Let me show you. So the people, look at this. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. You remember Joshua? Joshua was strong. Joshua stayed with God. Joshua was Moses' right-hand man. And when it was time for them to go into the promised land and Moses was told he couldn't go, "Joshua, come here. Take them." Joshua took care of them and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua. So now I want you to think about your grandparents, right? Your grandparents were strong. They always had a Bible right there where you could see it at the house. They always tried to teach you out of the Bible. And then you have the parents. And the parents were kind of like that, but they started to be a little more, excuse the word, liberal, right? They started to be a little more, we'll get to it. And then their kids, the baby boomers, I'm going to put you in the area where you can understand, right? Then their kids, the baby boomers, are thinking, you know what? We're going to let them figure it out. We're going to give them everything they want in life, everything we didn't have, TVs, whatever, cars, you name it. We're going to give them everything they want, and then they're going to figure it out on their own, and then you know what happened after that. Now we're teaching all kinds of things, and this is what's happening. So Joshua, just like your grandparents were strong, then you had the elders of Israel who were leading the people, and they were still kind of strong, but look what happens. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, and the servant of the Lord died. There goes the patriarch. There goes the rock. He died. And when he was 110 years old, and they buried him within the borders of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mountains of Ephraim, on the north side of Mount Gash. Now watch this. I hope you when you've read this, it didn't just skip over it. Look at what he's saying. When all the generations had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose. When all the ones that were staying strong with the Lord gathered, when that means when they died and they went, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel, because they had not been taught. Today, what are our kids doing? Well, let me go. Let me do this here. You having a good time? Yeah, did you enjoy your food? Sure, hold on. Bing! Wait. It's all day, right? It's all day. And if it's not that, it's a video game. It's TV. We're constantly wanting to be entertained. You know what time that takes away? That takes away time to build solid faith in those kids. And so watch this. And the children of Israel, now when these were all the Israel had died, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Why? For they did not know. Watch this. A generation arose that did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now look what they did. And they served Baals, and they forsook the Lord their God of their fathers, keep listening, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. God saved you already. Why are your kids going backwards? And they followed. Do you see that word in there? And they followed other gods. Watch where they got it from. From among the gods of the people. Brethren, listen. If you are not teaching your kids and telling them where to go and letting them make their own decisions, they are going to follow people. Whoever those people are, whether it's their friends, whether it's their teachers, their professors, hopefully it's a member of the church, because they're going to end up following someone. Nobody is special. Nobody has thought of something individual and says, I'm going to do it. You're not an individual if you say, I'm going to take a year off of college to find myself. That's the lazy way out of saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit around my parents' house. When somebody says, I want to backpack across Europe, you're not special. People have done that for years, and the only reason you know about it is because you've seen it and heard of it before. You see how this goes? It's like Solomon said, there is nothing new under the sun. And so if there's nothing new under the sun, you know that this is going to happen. In verse 13, look at this. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and Asheroths, and they angered the Lord, who was hot against Israel. They served whoever the people there were teaching them and showing them to serve. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, this is what you need to be teaching your children always. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words, now, this is the children of Israel, and I'm going to get this in just a minute. You're going to see how it's going to work. And these words that I command to you today Look at that. These words that I command you, it's a command to teach your children. They shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. You know what diligently looks like? Clean up your room. No, I don't want to. Clean up your room. And it's over and over and over. Fine, this is what I do in my family. You don't want to clean up your room? Fine, I go outside and get a rake from outside, and I rake everything to the center. Now you have to live with the pile right in the middle of your room. And you'll see it every single day until you clean it. Right? And then to the point where you're like, I just don't know what to do. But your diligence inside says, sit down and let me help you sort this stuff. Because you have to teach them all the way through. That's diligence. You've got to be that way. And you shall write them on your doorpost of your house and of your gates. You got to pass on your beliefs to your children. 2 Timothy 1, 4 through 5. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother. So where does it start? It doesn't only start with the mom. It starts with generations and generations and generations. I remember it, the faith that first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you. And you wonder why Paul would be so sure that this faith would dwell in Timothy. Well, he was sure because he knows. He saw the faith in Timothy. He brought Timothy along and said, you're going to be a preacher. I'm going to teach you these things. Why? Because he was ready to serve. And now you ask the question, why? Because his grandmother and mother took their time to diligently put this faith in him. To put the faith in him. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 13 through 17. We've got to learn these Bible truths from a young age. From a young age. Now, I remember going through Bible classes and Bible classes from a young age, from a young age, from a young age. And you know, I got all the way to 26 years old and then it just, light bulb. My goodness. I need to be baptized and put in the church because if not, I'm going to die. It took that long for me. But for some, it won't. But look at this, 1 Timothy 3, 13 through 17. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Look who is trying to take this from your family. Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. We let our children go off with kids. We don't know their parents. You don't know what they're teaching them. You don't know what's going on. These evil men are there and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. So look, things are going to hit children. Things are going to hit adults. If you're 50 here today, if it wasn't put in you and it's not put in there strong enough, you're going to be tempted. You have to know what is right because it is put in you. And look what it says. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Now why? If you look at the bottom portion, because all Scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's a fancy word for teaching. It is profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you have kids, I don't care how old they are, if they're young, all the way up to the top. You know, I love music. I love music. I grew up, me and my sister were glued to MTV. She would make me do choreographed dances with her. We would do this stuff. In the morning I'm waking up and I'm driving in my car and I'm listening to a song and I listen to the song in the 80s and I love them, but every time I hear a song from the 80s now, Sister Christian, oh, the time will come. It's okay. You're not the only one. Everybody's going to make the choice to leave the church. You're all right. I used to sing that to my heart's desire as a child. children today are being led with music, with all these things that society says that you have to be like. And you remember how we used to tell our kids, kids, be careful, you're not going to read People magazine, you're not going to read In Touch magazine, you're not going to do all these things because all it does is promote Hollywood and all these types of things and just everything that is wrong against the Bible. And now they have it right here on their phone, Yahoo. It's basically People magazine. They have all these things that they're seeing, Facebook, all these things. So we have to do our due diligence. Remind them where you come from. I think this is the big one. If you don't take anything away from tonight's lesson, you should take this. Because when your children ask you, why are we going to church? You know, the response is because you're waking up, it's fast, you're cooking breakfast, you're trying to iron clothes because even though you know Sunday's there and you should have ironed on Saturday, you always wait till Sunday morning because it's just habit, right? So this is what we do. So everybody's rushing around, kids are running, brush your teeth. I said, brush your teeth, and it's kind of chaos. Then they open the door, and you say, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. We're late. We get in the car, and you're trying to, okay, got to get our mind right. Why are we going to church? Because that's what we do. Now be quiet. That's exactly the reality of most families. And what we need to do is be able to take the time and tell our children these things. How much more powerful will it be? Watch this. When your son asks you in the time to come, what is the meaning of these testimonies and statutes and the rules? Look at that. And the rules that the Lord our God commanded you. Then you shall say to your son, look what he said. We were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed us signs and wonders and great and grievous against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. He saved us. You know what you tell your children when they ask you, why do we go to church? Why do we put so much effort? Why do we do those things? Son, sit down. Because we were once lost in sin. This what was wrong with me. This is what I was doing. And the Lord Jesus brought me out of these sins with his mighty hands in the waters of baptism, hearing the knowledge of the word Jesus, of the word that Jesus Christ has given us, and has given us this hedge around us called the church. And in it we're safe, as the children were walking around in the wilderness, and they had the pillar of cloud, and God was protecting them no matter where they went, and they had safe passage. We have that passage in the church because we were sinners. And we still struggle, and he's saving us, and I want him to save you too. That's when you show your children that you're not perfect, that you had these things happen to you too, and that's what you want for them. That's what happens. We need to remind them to stay faithful. 2 Timothy, look what it says. Hold fast, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words, healthy words. You know, the word healthy sound is from the Greek hygiena, which is hygiene. You tell your kids to brush their teeth every day because it's the only teeth you're going to have, and nobody wants bad breath. That's the reality. And when your kids are talking to you, like, go brush your teeth again. You didn't do it right, because you don't want anybody to know that your kids have bad hygiene. That's exactly what this word is saying. Hold fast to healthy, to hygienic words. Words that are going to make you look good, sound good, smell good, feel good, be good. Which you've heard from me in faith and love, which are in Jesus Christ. You heard them. Please hold to them. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. You see that word, be brave? Boy, you please not only tell your children, not only tell your grandchildren. Because that's not, you know, when you have grandkids, oh, that's the time they're going to raise them. Now I just get to spoil them. No. Look at what happened with Timothy. The grandparents have to also teach. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Look at that. Be brave. Why? Because it's not a popular thing in this society to be a Christian. Now let me back that up. You can tell them that you're from, you know, Grace Community, and it don't mean nothing. They don't come after you. Hey, you want to do what you want to do, that's fine. You can tell them that, you know, you're just a non-denominational whatever, and they're okay with that, and that's fine. But I guarantee you, the minute you tell them I'm a member of the Church of Christ and I'm a Christian, just a New Testament Christian, it's not normal in the eyes of people that you actually follow this the way it says and what we do. And so when that's happening, you have to tell your children to be brave. Be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, look what it says. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You have to show them a Christian home. I'm going to hit highlights here. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them and with understanding. I'm not saying that a home is going to be without yelling, without screaming, without the occasional pull your hair and, ugh. I mean, let's be real. If you're going to paint the picture of Leave It to Beaver and think you're going to live like that, you've been dealt the wrong hand. Nobody lives that perfect life. You may have a picture on the outside. You may have the house is painted perfect. You live in the right neighborhood. The fence is just right. The cars are just right. You wear just the right clothes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Everywhere you go. Inside the house, I guarantee you, they're screaming. Why do you do this? Why didn't you pay that? Why did you spend that much money? Don't you know what's in the checkbook before you spend money? Right? So we're not saying that a household is not going to have those aspects to it. The difference is to show those children that in the midst of all this, we stick together, we don't get divorced, right? In the midst of all this, we still go to church and worship God. In the midst of all this, we may lose our house, lose our lights, but we never lose the Lord. We have a relationship, we're going to go to church. We're going to go through all these problems. We can be angry, but we're not going to sin. Right, we can have these things, and we show our kids how to work it, and not give these kids some sort of, you're going to go to college, and you're going to mingle with the right Christian group, and you're going to find that man, and it's going to be perfect, because it's not. But what you are going to do is teach these children to look at the lineage. How were their parents? Were their parents Christians? Were their grandparents Christians? Were they, until death do they part? Do they know what's going on? So when it gets hard, they stay. That's what we're showing kids in our households, that we don't give up, that we honor the wife, that they're the weaker vessel, and we know that, and we're going to take care of everybody because we're partakers of grace and life together. Ephesians 5 and verse 22, look at this. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Let him go to the baseball game. I just threw that out there in case, because the Astros clinched it today, by the way. And I have to tell my wife that all the time. I'm going to the baseball game. Again, I'm taking the kids. Okay. So I get to take the kids. Right? And, you know, what we're doing is submitting. We have to submit. We have to learn to give and take and learn when to say, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. There's no reason to argue over these things. Now, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. All right, that's what a family should look like. The husband of the household loves the wife so much in the family that he's going to protect them with his very life. And we know that's what's in. Come into my house at night and see what happens, right? We know how we protect our family. And that's what we're supposed to do, just like Jesus in the church. Jesus is protecting, we're obedient, we're all going to be saved. This is what they need to be seeing in the household. Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. I don't know if this is recording. If it is recording, don't put it on your website, right? So my wife is always telling me, I grew up like this and I saw this and it wasn't always, you know, roses, and I think we can do better. And I always sit down and ask her, hey, how old are you? And she says, you know, her age, and she's 36, right? I say, you're still a member of the church? She goes, well, yeah. I say, And you married a preacher? Yeah. I did all right. We're doing okay. If it worked for you, it's okay. Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting to the Lord. We already went through that, so we'll do this. Look at this. Joshua chapter 24 in conclusion. Joshua chapter 24, 14 through 16. Parents, lead your house. That's what we have to do. We have to set realistic expectations, right? Realistic expectations. Now, everybody knows who has a wife or a husband that when you went out with that wife or husband on the first date, they had cologne or perfume, and they smelled real nice, and everything was looking perfect. Now, you know, as soon as you get married, that's out the window, right? It's a different story. You get to see another side that you've never seen before. Let's set realistic expectations to our children. I have three children. The odds are I lose one to the world. That's just the reality of the world and of the church. Odds are I'm losing one. But the reality is I'm going to fight to the death to save them. That's the truth, right? Now, we don't have a perfect home. My kids know that. Therefore, my kids are happy in my home. Set realistic expectations. Set realistic expectations when they go to college. It's not all roses. It's going to be the hardest 4 years of your life. You're not going to have sleep. You're going to get angry. You're going to make mistakes. Who knows what's going to happen? You're probably going to meet the wrong people. And the first guy you meet or girl you meet is probably not going to be the one. That's just the way it is. And when you do meet the one, you're still going to have problems. And you're probably not going to make $250,000 a year and be happy that way. Very few people actually do that. So I feel like, and I know, that when we set realistic expectations, then life is easier. You know, my kids, I want to be a professional baseball player. Well, odds are, son, that will never happen for you, but we'll do everything we can to give you that opportunity. It's just being realistic. Realistic with your family. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. Don't follow what everybody's doing. Just remember who the Lord is. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, which it does to some people, oh, I'm tired of the church. Matter of fact, I watch at least two debates a week, and I listen to countless sermons a week. And I'm popping up on YouTube in this Church of Christ thing where I'm seeing all these debates and stuff. And I see this girl on there. It's a new one. And she says, what I think about the Church of Christ. I don't care what you think about the Church of Christ. I care what the Bible says about the Church of Christ. And this girl goes on for 45 minutes. And everybody underneath, oh, it's so great of you to actually see past. To see past what? That the Bible gives you expectation? You know? That you actually have to live up, like Paul said, to the gospel, live worthy to the gospel for which you were called? Yeah, you have to change your life. That's what the Bible's showing. We got to teach our kids, don't be like that one. Be strong. And if you don't know what to say, you don't know how to respond to people, don't respond. And don't feel like you have to follow. Because this is what happens when you follow. It's going to seem evil to those people if you want to follow the Lord. And if you think, you know, you follow all these people, that's what it's like. But look at what Joshua is saying. Choose yourself this day. You see that? This yourself? You see that? Paul said it differently. He said it in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Do it yourself. Choose yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. I'll end with this. I'm very outspoken, and I speak to lots of people. And when I speak to them, I tell them from the Bible, from the Bible, from the Bible, book, chapter, verse, and I do it strong, usually stronger than I do when I'm preaching. And you know what I get from them all the time? It no longer becomes evil. It no longer becomes, well, if that's what you want to do, it then becomes, well, if that's what the Bible says, then I guess we should. That's exactly what he's doing. He said it powerful. He knows where he's coming from, and everybody else knows it too. And they get to that area in life where they say, you know what? If that's what the Bible says, far be it from us. It's just like Peter. Cast your net. We've been fishing all night, toiling all night. Hey, but, he says, but at your word, nevertheless, I'll do it. That's what we have to do in our lives. Teach our children that we do God's word. We're in his will. Give them realistic expectations and understand that they're going to follow something. And so let's do our best, though we may lose some, to keep all those that we can to follow the Lord. If anybody has need of anything, come forward as we stand and as we sing.